Hello, everyone, and welcome to our series of podcasts on SecurityInfoWatch.com. Today, I'm here at the Security Specifiers Consult 17 conference in San Antonio, and we are thrilled to have two folks that were among the finalists for the Elliott A. Boxerbaum Memorial Award for Best Project submitted by a design, engineering, and consulting firm. And we have with us today Brian Coulomb, who is the Principal and Director of Operations at DVS, and Phil Santori, who is the Managing Principal and Director of Commerce and Cultural Markets. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. Good to be here.
Well, the award or the project that you all submitted was the complete rebuild of the Sandy Hook Elementary School, and then working the project through the community to help foster some improvements throughout their entire school district. So to say that was an emotional and a very important project is an understatement. So Brian, you know, tell us a little bit about how this project came to be and how DVS got involved in it.
Sure. So I'll start by saying that, you know, Phil and I are both from Connecticut. We're both from areas near Newtown. I actually grew up in the town over. And so when the tragedy happened at Sandy Hook, you know, it really struck us on an emotional level and a personal level. And, you know, immediately we started thinking about, you know, how can we get involved in this project and helping that community heal. And, you know, at the same time, helping to ensure that something like this can't and won't happen again. So in the wake of the tragedy, the governor of Connecticut, Daniel Malloy, convened the Sandy Hook Advisory Commission, and one of the founding principals of DVS, Bob Ducibello, was asked to be part of that commission. And they looked at a number of things, but you know, one of the things they looked at was, you know, how to build safe schools. And through that process, you know, we became familiar with the group from the town that was going to be responsible for building the new school, and we were able to get involved. And you know, we were certainly honored and pleased to be able to do so.
Phil, you know, when you tackle a project like this, it's so emotional on just the bare level, but really just an opportunity for you as a group and a community to build something special and to build something state-of-the-art that could be a showcase for school security. What was the approach that the firm took, number one, looking at an overall solution, and number two, working with the community to get it right?
Well, the first thing we had to look at, Steve, was maintaining the mission. This was a school. It had to still be a school. Education was the first component of our thoughts. And we said, at any cost, we have to maintain that educational mission. So what do we do now that supports that, doesn't impede it, doesn't turn the school, the grounds, into a prison-like environment, or such an environment where, you know, a seven-year-old would feel uncomfortable there or a parent would feel uncomfortable there? Conversely, we had a group of emotional parents in the community, who had friends, relatives, brothers and sisters that lost children. It was extremely emotional, and we had to satisfy that comfort zone as well, where everybody wanted to know that no matter what we did, their kids were going to be safe all the time. And it was very difficult to do that and work with them. And it was really an educational process to educate them as to what was practical and possible and achievable to end, you know, get to the end goal that made sense. You know, it's easy to be reactionary when something like that happens and, you know, kind of throw the book at it. But we had to be very careful that it worked in the end and it didn't impede the educational process.
Now, you know, you previously said that the grounds were kept because they really couldn't find a new location that met the specs and the criteria for the rebuild. So you stayed on the same spot of land, but again, you totally changed everything and built a new school from the ground up. So talk about the design considerations going in to this rebuild, and you know how the mindset was of, again, working with the community, but against, you know, satisfying a 21st century approach to school security.
Sure. I'll start. So at any project we do, we always start as far out as we can. You know, it's kind of the onion. You know, how far out can I start? How many layers can I do? So we start out at the street, and we looked at how do we enter the site, what's access to the site, both vehicular and pedestrian, and we work our way all the way through. And in doing that, we had a really good group of design professionals, the architects, the landscape architects, the site civil folks were really wonderful to work with, and were really sensitive to what we were trying to do, and really collaborated with us for the best results. And in doing so, we created that first step, and that's from the site in, and how do we manage traffic into the site and pedestrians before we even got to the building. And then when we get to the building, we did more.
Brian, you know, when you got to the building, what was the mindset there?
The mindset was to, you know, create a welcoming-looking environment, a welcoming school, a beautiful school where children were eager to go and parents were proud to have their children go. But, you know, introduce delay and detection of aberrant behavior so that if something were to happen again or someone were to try something again, there would be enough time to allow police to respond and hopefully, you know, avoid any type of tragedy, you know, similar to what had previously happened. The other point that I would want to make is, you know, obviously the design process was emotional. One of the things that we did, and this was led by the architect, was a series of meetings with stakeholders from the town mm-hmm. who were able to become involved in the design process. So educators, first responders, parents, routinely were all called into these large design meetings where we would be present and we would have difficult conversations about things like security. And through that process, we were able to get consensus and buy-in on a lot of these security measures which we wanted to introduce at the school. I think going in, we both had a concern that, you know, there's a lot of eyes on this project, right. And absent any outside input, it was likely that no matter what we did, people would disagree with it. So that process was incredibly valuable in getting team and town buy-in on the design.
Phil, talk a little bit about the technology that was implemented into this project and how you made it work in a school environment.
Sure. The technology we used is really off-the-shelf technology, but it's how we deployed it and how programmatically it's intended to be used. For an example, when you approach the school, when you turn up the school drive, there are detector loops in the ground, similar to that you might find in front of a traffic light or mm-hmm. a parking gate in a garage that lets you out. But in this case, it lets security know that a vehicle is approached and is parked there. Because maybe at 10:30 in the morning, there really shouldn't be anybody pulling in a K-5 school. So they get an immediate notification. And, of course, through technology, when we get that notification, we automatically call up a camera. We create an alert. We open an intercom channel outside. So we're beginning to manage that outer perimeter, if you will, of who's coming onto my property. And once we manage that, it gives us the beginning of our timeline. If this is all fine and it's Mrs. Jones coming to pick up her son, that's one thing. If it's a black van that's parked there, doesn't answer me, and drives through a gate, then I know I have a problem. And that begins that timeline to gain that 4 to 6 minutes of time before the police can respond.
Brian, talk a little bit about the video implementation and also the egress access control.
Sure. So the one thing I will say about the electronics is that, you know, we try to be cognizant of the fact that it's a school, right? And there's one security person for the school.
Right.
And we don't want to overwhelm that person with cumbersome technology, right? I mean, advanced technologies certainly have their place in our industry and, you know, for certain types of projects. For a K-5 environment, it's about giving that person tools that they can easily use that can help implement the physical and back up the physical security program for the school. So we absolutely have things like video surveillance and access control, but you know, the level to which those were designed were still pretty basic, right?
Right.
Knowing who our audience was
right.
as an operator. So we're watching, you know, certainly the entrances, the campus perimeter. We're watching, you know, main hallways and things in the school, and really those things are there to help monitor for again aberrant behavior. And really population control during the day.
Would you take this and be confident enough to use this as a model for K-5 schools throughout the country?
Absolutely.
Everywhere.
Absolutely.
Very good.
And that's why, you know, we spend so much time trying to talk to people about what we did, because we really think there were some unique things about the design that are worth putting out there so that other design professionals can consider those for their own projects.
Excellent. Phil, lessons learned?
Lessons learned. First, remember your mission, why you're there. Second, look at the tools available. Not every school is a Sandy Hook. Some schools are in inner cities. You know, you have 17 feet of sidewalk as your maximum standoff. Right. And so you have to look at different approaches. But at the end of the day, it's got to be practical. It's got to make sense. It can't be so complicated that it fails in itself. When you create a system like this, whether it's the physical component, the technical component, or the response components, or the communications components for that matter, they have to be really workable at really the worst time. Because when this all comes into play is under the worst conditions.
Right.
You know, when everything's great during the day and it's 10 o'clock and the sun is shining and nothing's happening, it's a wonderful day for everyone. We have to create something that is able to be used under the worst conditions in a matter of seconds.
Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you. Again, we want to thank Phil Santori and Brian Coulomb from DVS. And we were talking about the Sandy Hook rebuild of the elementary school. And we invite everyone to join us on the next podcast on SIW. Thank you very much.